In everything give thanks. The scripture there, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything. It's interesting, that word, everything. Sometimes that's a little challenging for us, isn't it? In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A lady had bowed her head in prayer to give thanks for her food, and she says, "Thank you, Lord, for these victuals." And somebody overheard her and said, "Lady, what are victuals?" And she said, "Well, they're the blessings of God that He gives me. It's my food that He gives me to eat." And the person responded, listen to what the person says, "Well, don't you know that you're going to have that food to eat whether or not you thank God? It doesn't matter. You're still going to have that food to eat." But listen to this woman's response. She said, "Well, perhaps so, but everything tastes better when I'm thankful." And I think, oh, how true that is. That's true for all of us. Life is better if we're thankful. We ought to have the attitude of this little girl whose father was a radio disc jockey. You know, he had a booming, strong voice, and he was also a radio announcer. And she'd been invited over to some friend's house for dinner, for supper. And so when she arrived, the mother asked the little girl and said, "Would you mind saying the blessing over our dinner tonight?" And it just delighted the little girl. She said, "Oh, yes, I'll be glad to." And the family all sit down at the table to get ready for the meal. And the little girl cleared her throat. She looked at her wristwatch. She bowed her head and said with her best booming voice, she said, "This food, friends, is coming to you through the mighty courtesy of our Lord God." She was following in the footsteps of her radio announcer father. She was right, though, because everything we have comes by God's blessing. Everything we have, every morsel of food we have, comes by Almighty God. Psychologists tell us that a thankful perspective, a thankful attitude, is the healthiest of all human emotions. In fact, studies have shown that gratitude produces positive emotional energy. In fact, it produces that more than any other emotion in life. Gratitude does that. The English root word for the word gratitude is the same as for the word grace. Isn't that interesting? Grace and gratitude are twin sisters. They go together. How true is that? Think of a couple other words like that. Think of think, the word think, and the word thank. They have the same root word as well. So when we think, when we stop and think, then we reflect on the grace of God. And when we do that, we should automatically come to our heart to say, "Thank you." So think and thank. Well, they go together. How many times do blessings just pass us by day, because we don't stop to think that they're coming to us by the hand of God? It's so important, even this morning, that we all just pause and think about how grateful we are for the gift of eternal life through our Savior Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful today that you know Jesus? Aren't you thankful today that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You have the hope of heaven, the hope of eternity, because of your relationship with Jesus. My aunt and uncle that lived in Mesquite, Texas, is Ed and Nora Orr. They owned a dry cleaning store on the Old Town Square in Mesquite. In fact, it was just the opposite from the Texan drive-in that had some of the best cowboy movies on Saturday afternoons you could ever imagine. It was great. And it was just down the street from Porter's Drug Store, and the hardware store was all on the town square there in Mesquite. Now, the name of their dry cleaning shop was Triple A Dry Cleaning. Now, the A's didn't stand for anything. They didn't stand anything. But you got to remember now, this is back in the early 60s. You wanted your business listed in the Yellow Pages. Y'all do remember Yellow Pages, don't you? That big, thick yellow book, and it was alphabetical. You know, you could look up business, get phone numbers. We don't use that anymore. But if you were a business and you wanted to be the first one they would see in the Yellow Pages, then if the name of your business was AAA, that means when you turn to a dry cleaner's in the Mesquite Yellow Pages, the very first one you'd see was my aunt and uncle's dry cleaning store, AAA Dry Cleaners. That was a big deal. It was real important. And it has a lot to do with this sermon. Not really. Only that there are three A's in this sermon. There are three A's in the sermon, but each one of these A's stand for something. Unlike the AAA and my aunt and uncle's dry cleaners. By the way, I can remember as a kid on Saturdays, my mom, we just lived a few miles down the road on Military Parkway from downtown Mesquite. And my mom would often take me to my aunt and uncle's dry cleaning store on Saturday morning, where I would sweep up the store. I would clean the front glass and clean everything up, clean the bathroom, and just clean everything real good. And when I got through, it was just about closing time. They would close at noon on Saturdays. They'd give me 50 cents. You say, well, that didn't sound like much, but listen, it's 1962, and you're 10 years old. You get that 50 cents, you got the whole world in front of you then, brother. Let me tell you, I could take that 50 cents and go across the town square to the Texan Theater and watch the best Roy Rogers movie they had and still have enough money for popcorn and a Coke and a movie, all on 50 cents. So that was a great deal. I loved it. And that has nothing to do with the sermon either, but I just want to throw that in. The first A that we look at in these triple A's today is attitude. And that makes sense, doesn't it? When you remember the story of the 10 lepers, you remember that in Luke's gospel, these 10 men that had that loathsome, deadly disease, and they were healed by Jesus. And the Bible says they all went away rejoicing, and only one came back to say thanks. That one that came back, can't you just imagine him kneeling and falling down at the feet of Jesus and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for saving me and delivering me. That thankfulness that he showed. He had an attitude of gratitude, didn't he? Have you ever noticed that folks that are always thankful, they always seem to also have a great attitude about life? You know, they just go hand in hand. People that have a thankful heart, they always have a positive attitude because they're always focusing on God's blessings and God's goodness. Our scripture text we read earlier says, in everything give thanks for the will of God. It's the will of God for Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will, is what I'm trying to get to here today. It's God's will for us to be thankful. It's God's will for you and I to have that attitude of gratitude, that we have that in our lives. Yeah, we understand bad days happen, don't they? We all experience bad days. You know it's a bad day when suddenly the horn on your car gets stuck and it's going off and you realize you're right behind a group of Hell's Angels. You know that's not a good situation. Or for some of us, you know it's a bad day when you sink your teeth into a big juicy steak and they stay there. And that's a bad day. That's hard. That's a bad day. You know it's a bad day when you go to Walmart and you walk in the door and all of a sudden you have one of those, now what did I come here for? And for the life of you, you cannot remember what you went to the store to buy. You know that's a bad day. As a Christian, you follow Jesus, or we should follow Jesus, with all of our heart. And we give Him praise and we give Him thanks. And we do that even on the bad days. Even when things aren't going well, whether it's a bad day or a bad week or even a bad year, we still give Him thanks and we praise Him. We have to have a thankful heart in every situation. Regardless of how bad it may seem to you, God, I'm sure, wants to use it in your life for His purpose, to move you to a heart of thanksgiving and to a heart of dependence totally upon Him. Matthew Henry is the famous Bible scholar and teacher. He was once accosted by thieves and robbed of all of his money. And he recorded his thoughts in his diary. Listen to his thoughts about this event. I am so thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourth, it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Yeah, yeah. Do you thank God in the bad times? Do you thank Him in the bad times as well as the good times? Do you thank Him in the midst of trouble as much as you do in the midst of victory and triumph and things going well for you? We ought to be able to give thanks regardless of how bad the day is going. Because for the believer, for you and I, thanksgiving is that attitude of gratitude. And that attitude of gratitude should be our first response, just as it was in this response we read of Matthew Henry. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, 15, and 16. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. For all things, that all comes in there, that's kind of tough. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Hear those words today if you're struggling. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man in our spirit is what it's saying. The inward man is being renewed day by day by the presence of Jesus and His Holy Spirit in us. We're being renewed day by day. So we've looked at this first A. This first A is attitude, the attitude of being thankful. The second A today is the attitude of gratitude busters. What things can destroy the attitude of gratitude that's within us? And first you see conceit. Of course, we know conceit. Conceit's basically an attitude of pride. Pride and conceit say, well, I deserve what I've got. I've worked for it. I've earned it. Everything that's good, I deserve it because I worked hard to get it. That's pride, isn't it? Pride will destroy an attitude of gratitude to God. The second is a critical spirit. Our pettiness goes along with critical spirit. You ever notice that? People that are critical and always talking critically, they always tend to be very petty people as well. Constantly complaining. Always focusing on what's wrong rather than what's on right. You know, if we do that, it will rob us of our thankfulness and it will rob us of our joy. By the way, being positive is a habit. Being positive about things is a habit, and being critical and negative about things is another habit. I don't like to be around the folks that have that last habit very much. I don't think you do either. We want to be around folks that are positive, not those that are constantly complaining and finding fault. Someone that's constantly critical, complaining, and negative, those folks, you know this is true, they are never satisfied. They're never content. Nothing's ever quite right or good enough. I got in my notes here, rather than being humbly grateful, they're grumbly hateful. That's true. That's true. Instead of grumbling about not having what we want or what we expect, we should be thankful. Listen to this last part. We should be thankful that we did not get what we deserved. Because what we deserved as a sinner was all put on Jesus when He was on that cross. And what we didn't deserve, His forgiveness, His grace, His love, and His righteousness was placed on us from Him to us. And we didn't deserve it, but we received it because of the cross of Jesus. And then carelessness. We get so accustomed to our blessings, don't we? Sometimes the blessings are just so good and so wonderful, we get used to them. Y'all know what I'm saying when I say that? We just kind of begin to take them for granted is what I'm really saying. Let me give you an example. If you ever go out at night on a clear night and you look up in the sky and you just see the majesty of all the stars, the galaxies, it's just magnificent, it's beautiful. If you take time, just do it every once in a while. It's a beautiful scene. It's a reminder of the majesty and the glory of God in the heavens. But now, could you imagine that instead of being able to walk out and see them every night that's a clear night, could you imagine what it would be like if the stars only could be seen once a year on one day, once a year? And it was the same day every year, once a year. Can you imagine what that one night would be like? Everybody in the world would be outside and they'd stay up all night just looking at the heavens and the stars because they know they'd never see anything like that again until the next year. It would be wonderful. It would be so special. But it's not now because we see it all the time, so we're careless about it. We get used to it. Look at the children of Israel. They were hungry. They were complaining about they had no food. God brought an answer to their prayers and He gave them manna. They had manna. They had manna for breakfast and lunch and dinner. They had bread. They made it into bread and little cakes and food. They were no longer hungry. They were no longer complaining. They thanked God for the manna. Met that need. But after weeks and months and years went by, they were on that eating that manna. What happened? They began to complain. Is this all we got? This crummy manna? They weren't thinking about the fact that they were starving before, that it all came from God. They became careless. And instead of having an attitude of gratitude, that were complaining and being critical. That is not the will of God. Those are attitude of gratitude busters. We need to stay away from them. Let's look at the third A today, and that's altitude. Altitude. Y'all heard it right. It's A-L-T-I-T-U-D-E. You've heard this saying. It's not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines what? Your altitude. What does that mean? It means it's not how smart you are, but it's the perspective, it's your outlook, it's how you see things, it's your attitude that determines how far you'll go, your altitude, how you'll be lifted up. Our altitude will give us a completely different perspective. You ever notice that? You get up real high, it's a lot different perspective than when you're down on the ground. Our altitude spiritually and emotionally and our outlook gives us a different and better point of reference. A better point of reference is a real important thing. I've shared this example in this story with you before, but I love this example of how perspective can change how we feel about things, and it can. This young girl was in college, and she writes her mom and dad this letter. Listen to her letter. She says, "Dear Mom and Dad, I'm very sorry I've been so long in writing. Unfortunately, all my stationery was destroyed in the night our dorm was set on fire by demonstrators. I'm out of the hospital now, and the doctors say that my eyesight should return sooner or later. The wonderful boy, Bill, who rescued me from the fire, kindly offered to share his apartment with me until my dorm room is rebuilt. He comes from a grand family, so you won't be surprised when I tell you we're going to be married in a short while. In fact, since you've always wanted a grandchild, you'll be glad to know that you'll be grandparents in just another month. P.S. You remember when you wrote a letter and you said, sincerely, I love you, and then down at the bottom you put P.S. That means postscript. I've got something else I need to say. So in her letter, she's got P.S. down at the bottom. Please disregard the above practice in creative writing. There was no fire. I haven't been to the hospital. I'm not pregnant, and I don't even have a boyfriend. But I did get a D in French and an F in chemistry, and I just wanted you to have a little perspective before you got this letter. Now, perspective completely changed that parents, right? All of a sudden, they were thankful their daughter was okay. They were thankful, you know what I'm saying? The altitude of gratitude will change our perspective. We can grovel and gripe, or we can enjoy the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving will lift you up in the heavenlies. It'll lift your spirit. It'll lift everyone around you. If you feel like life is just closing in on you, if you feel like every door is shut, then just start praising Him. You say, well, I don't feel it. Just do it because He's worthy of our praise. Just worship and praise Him. We rise above the worries of this life to a new altitude. When we have a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of praise and our attitude about having a sense of gratitude that's in us, that lifts us up to a higher altitude, it lifts us up off the ground, it lifts us up high, we can see things from a new perspective. And even though we may often be looking through tears at that higher altitude, even then, we can see a sovereign God who loves us, has a plan and a purpose for us, and is in all, above all, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. He's all of those things. So this morning, in conclusion, just having a thankful heart, expressing gratitude, that's the mark of a glowing, faithful Christian, isn't it? I love to be around folks that are just glowing with thanks and a great attitude. Psalm 92 and verse 1 says, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. You've heard that. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. It'll change your life. A thankful attitude will change your life. It'll shield you from being critical. It'll protect you from being pessimistic. It'll draw you closer to God, and He'll draw closer to you as a result of that. And I know there's times when it seems impossible to give thanks and to give praise to Him based on what's going on in our life. But remember this, the Scripture says that it is the will of God that we give thanks in everything. And that scripture in Philippians 4 and 6, be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer, thanksgiving, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Colossians 4 and 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We're making our petitions known. We're making our prayers to the Lord, but we're also thanking Him. Thanking Him. Most of us are constantly adding to our prayer list. That's true for most of us. We add another name to our prayer list. We should be adding equally the number of things that's on our praise list. In fact, maybe we need to keep a praise list and just start writing down everything that we should be thankful for and remember to say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was the summer of 2017, and Tiffany Johnson and her husband JJ had gone on a Caribbean cruise. Got away from the kids for a little while, have a cruise, be together, and they had stopped to explore Nassau, the Bahamas. And they went snorkeling. A lot of folks do that in that area, beautiful water. They went snorkeling near a coral reef. And after a few minutes, Tiffany's husband, JJ, was feeling a little bit sick and uneasy, so he swam back to the boat, got into the boat, and so she continued to snorkel out near the reef, and suddenly she felt like something had bumped into her. And when she turned to see what it was, she was face to face with a shark. And suddenly that shark had her whole arm in that shark's mouth. Her whole arm was in that shark's mouth. Fear came upon her. She suddenly thought of her three children, her husband, and she yanked her arm and she began to fight. And then suddenly there's blood everywhere. She started screaming. The shark's jaws opened and she looked down and her arm was completely gone. All that was left was a little stump on the upper part of her arm. She flipped over, she yanked off her snorkeling mask, and she screamed, she said in her testimony, she screamed, help, help me, Jesus, help me. She swam back toward the boat. Her husband came to her and helped her get into the boat. The boat captain was there. They tightly wrapped her bleeding stub that was left on her arm with a towel that was in the boat. They were 30 minutes away back to the shore. That's how far out they'd gone. 30 minutes. They take her back to the hospital in Nassau, and the next day she's flown back to North Carolina where they did additional surgery. Most of her right arm was gone. In fact, several doctors in that emergency room at Nassau told her that she should have bled out on that boat. So severe was the bleeding. She didn't have a tourniquet. All she did was wrap that stump in a salty old towel that was on the boat and prayed. She had that in her favor, didn't she? God was on her side. Tiffany would tell you that there's been lots of trials and lots of bumps in the road along the way since that terrible day, but that God has been so good to cover her mind and heart with His peace and His love and His strength. Look at this image with me of this young woman. She now has that prosthetic right arm. But listen to what she has to say today. From the very beginning when the attack happened, one of the prayers that I prayed on the boat was, God, use this. Somehow use this. Since the attack, I've seen God use my story over and over to show people who He is. I've cried many tears in thankfulness. Thankfulness that He chose me to carry this burden and entrusted me in this. I'm thankful that God can use any situation in our lives to save people and to bring glory to His name, even in a shark attack. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a great story that is. Remember this, giving thanks will not always change my circumstances. But thanksgiving will change what my circumstances do to me. Oh, that is so true. If you don't know Jesus today as your Savior, the best way you can express your gratitude to God who made you and who wants to save you is to reach up to Him and to reach up to Him in faith and to pray that prayer, I'm a sinner, God. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus as your Son. I believe that He rose from the grave and He's in heaven now. Forgive me. I put my trust in your Son, Father Jesus. If you'll pray that prayer, that simple prayer, Christ will come into your heart. He'll forgive you of your sins. It'll be the best day you've ever had. And you'll know that love and joy and peace of Christ. It'll be a reality to you. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Then he answers his own question when he says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I encourage you today, take the cup of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. Come into that right relationship with him and his son Jesus. Oh, what a blessing that will be. If you give your life to Jesus, you will be eternally grateful that you did. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for the power of the word and the power of the gospel. We thank you for Jesus. Father, I thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit that even now is searching and touching hearts in this place, ministering hope and encouragement and help, ministering love, ministering comfort. And Father, I know the Holy Spirit is ministering and touching hearts that are cold and indifferent, that maybe even in the life of someone that's lost, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Reach down into that heart today by your Holy Spirit and touch them. Break through the deceit and the lies. Let them see the eternal hope and love that you have for them through your Son, Jesus. With every head still bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, if you feel God pulling at your heart, you need Jesus as your Savior. You need him today. Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need Jesus this morning. If that's your heart's cry, would you just lift your hand right now? Anyone? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone? Father, we thank you today for salvation. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the hand that was raised. And I just pray that you'd reach down and touch her heart and bless her. Let her just reach up in faith and trust you for forgiveness and grace and invite you into her heart as her Lord and Savior. And seal that, Lord, by your wonderful love and work in her. Father, for all those here today that need hope, oh, give hope. Give hope to them that need a lift. Give them a lift in their spirit. Lift them, God, by your love and your presence. Remind them how precious they are to you, that they're not alone. That whatever they're going through, that you're with them each step of the way. And that all is well because you're with them. Oh, we thank you for that hope today. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.